welcome to Skyview Baptist Church's Wednesday night service. For our first song, we will be singing The Solid Rock, 264, The Solid Rock. Page number 8, Higher Ground. Page number 8, first to second. And last verses, page number 8, Higher Ground.
Much, Alex. I appreciate that. That's wonderful singing. And let me move the songbook aside a little bit, and you got your phone on there. Perfect. Let me do a couple quick announcements for you, if I could. One thing I'm going to mention to you is I'm going to cheat a little bit. I say cheat a little bit, but all I'm going to say is that during the service, if that mask gets a little much, just you can pull it down. Just make sure to, if you're going to move around, try to put it back on, because, you know, I got to come up, talk to people, and I'm not good at keeping 6 feet apart. Usually my breath will make you keep 6 feet apart from me, but I don't want you to feel like you can't. If you're having a hard time breathing or you're starting to get groggy or whatever, pull the mask down, get some air, that kind of stuff. Except for Dan Roach, I'm going to ask him to hold a pillow on his face and let me do a couple quick announcements for you. Let's see. Make sure to try to practice social distancing after the end of the service. Make sure to mention that. If you send a check by mail, please make sure to send a phone number with the check. We will try to contact you with a text or a phone call to let you know we received the check and make sure it's getting through the mail system. The tithing plates are on the back of the church. As you leave, you can put your tithes into the back of the church. And we're still doing our parking lot service. And we're having more intent. It's kind of funny because when you look at church attendance, I know there's a big crew at the beach. I came from Lincoln City, from the beach. And so we have a lot of folks. In fact, some of them came back. I see Rebecca, Liz, and Chloe were there. And they were whale watching. I heard you guys got right next to a whale, and I heard that, Joy and Roman and Abby were contributing to the fish food quite dramatically, and so... Yeah, and so it's quite the experience. It's good to have you guys back. We've got a lot of folks out of town right now. But we have a lot of folks who join us online. There's a lot of, actually quite a few folks who join us online, which reminds me, Alex, can you do me a favor? Would you run this back to the camera? And they do a watch party thing that I got to learn how to do. Run that back to Miss Julie, would you, real quick? Thank you, sir. We have a 12:40 parking lot service, and some of our neighbors joined us this last Sunday, and it's kind of funny because you guys never know what's going to happen. You don't want to miss out. So the sermon I was starting off with how, you know, we people try to blame everybody for their problems, and I was like, Seattle, your problem is Seattle. You know, and Portland, your problem is Portland. Don't go blaming everybody else, and you people trying to blame Christians because you have morals. And if you didn't have morals, and there wouldn't be any conflict, you could just have prostitution, you could just have drugs, you could just have... So I was going that direction with it, and I said, you know, your problem is Seattle? And the neighbor yells, the cops! So I kept preaching, I think, two or three different times. They yelled out, the cops! And screaming, the cops. And it keeps it entertaining. So I was expecting tomatoes to come out pretty soon. And the worst part is, I know this doesn't sound like me, but I honestly, I want to have good relations with the neighbors. I want to talk to them. I want them to know who we are. And you don't have to like what somebody believes to be personable and decent people and that kind of stuff. And I try to work at that. And these are brand new neighbors, so I felt kind of bad. I'm like, well, now I got to dig out of a hole. And hopefully they heard the rest of the sermon. But anyways, you don't want to miss that 12:30 parking lot service. We had one invitation where a man stopped and prayed and was crying and then left. We didn't get to talk to him. We had an invitation where Gabriel came down and saved a chick. And we had one chick saved in the service. And the story behind that was a crow had come down and attacked a baby chicken. Where that baby chicken came from, I don't know. And Brother Gabriel here at the church saw it, and he went and he rescued the crow. Rescued the chicken. And we said, why did you rescue the chicken? Did you feel bad for it? He says, no, I don't like things messing with my dinner. And so then Miss Karen came by and picked the chicken up and took care of it. And you still got that chicken? Okay, I was going to say, I didn't know what kind of chicken that was. It's a quail chicken. And then bats, they're black chickens. And they all have different kinds of chickens. Everything's a chicken. They're good eating, whatever it is. Yeah, so that's what the crow thought. Well, everything's a chicken. So we saved one chicken. You still got it at the house? That's kind of cool. So just different things happen. You never know what's going to happen on outside service. And I want to invite you to come. And as long as we're a help to people who need the help. There are people who really aren't in a position to come to the morning service or not comfortable with it yet. Whatever it is, they can come to that parking lot service. And we'll keep that going until you know, people don't need it anymore. And if people don't need it, we won't do it anymore. But we've had several folks every service who come, and they come just for the parking lot service. If you'd like to stay over the parking lot service, you're welcome to stay. It's at 12:40, and there's always an adventure. It doesn't usually take too long, and so I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, I heard someone in the background, what did they say, you know, and so you have to be there. We still need supplies for the homeless, so if you have things you can bring in for the homeless, that would be a blessing, and socks, hats, coats. I mean, people think it's the middle of summer, you don't need coat, you need coat, you're sleeping outside at night, you need to be able to be warm. And then we have a graduation service. Skyview Baptist Academy is hosting the graduation service, but we have more than one student. We have our Skyview Baptist Academy student, Matthew Myers, and then we have Zach Walway. And they'll be both going through the graduation service, the ceremony. Zach is one of our homeschoolers, and he's graduating, and so we're excited about that. And so we'll be conducting the service this Sunday night service. And we'd like all our folks to come and participate, be a blessing. Do we know what we're doing afterwards? We'll do something afterwards, and we'll figure out the best way to have some kind of... I got to thinking, if you have crock pots with soup that's at 160 degrees or something, isn't that safe? Is that considered bad? I don't know. Someone's got to help me with it. Call the CDC and find out if COVID lives in 200-degree crock pots. But I don't know what we can do. We'll figure something out. But we'll have something after the service and help celebrate. Come be a blessing to the folks who graduated. And then, very important, July 19th. It's coming up very quickly. Brother Benny Beckham will be coming to preach for us. I'm asking our folks to pray. I'm asking our folks to fast. God's doing something in America right now. We need to get in line with what God's doing. I've heard this. I can't tell you that this is a fact, okay? I'm not going to say this is a fact, but I've heard this said, and I don't have any reason to argue with it. How's that? Very often what you see playing out on earth is a reflection of the spiritual warfare that's going on in, we use the term in heaven or in the spiritual realm. And there is something happening in America, this unrest in America, there's always been conservative and liberal. There's always been Christian, non-Christian. There's always been different things like that. But this, something's stirring. Something's happening. And I don't just mean the political year and riots and that kind of thing, but with the COVID, with so much going on, God's doing something. And you'll find the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and I believe, I can't remember if it's 10 or 11, but you'll find Daniel, when he fasted and prayed, he was looking for understanding of what God was doing so he could get on board, get in line with it, and know what to be done. We as a church need to get in line with what God's doing, and we need understanding. And that's why you fast and you pray. That's a reason in the Bible that you fast and you pray. And you'll find that several times in the Bible. How do we get on board with what God's doing? We've got to get out of this idea of just a little bubble of fear. How do I say this? COVID's real. I'm not saying it's not real. Okay, you could wear a mask, wear gloves. You can be completely protected. You can even take a bleach bottle and spray it around you and kill everything in the air as you're walking through and walk out in the street and get hit by a bus. Welcome to church. I'm so positive around here. I'm just trying to tell you is it's not as important to preserve your life as it is to what you're going to do with the life you're preserving. Okay, so I'm not trying to minimize COVID. I'm not trying to say, be rash or stupid or anything like that. I am trying to say that God's doing something, and we as a church need to get on board, and we need to get on board quickly. Brother Benny Beckham's coming July 19th to the 23rd. I'm going to ask our folks if you can help towards that. We need you to put conference on the offering envelopes. And I think we need to raise around $3,000. We've got to fly him and his family out here, putting them up for a week, and then feeding them, and then also love offering. Couldn't say those words. Love offering. We actually have to pay them. And we want to be a blessing to them. I don't know what his schedule's been like with this COVID thing going on. I know a lot of churches close, and obviously you don't have revival meetings when nobody's coming to church. So I don't know exactly what he's been doing, how it's been working, but we want to try to be a blessing. And I'm going to tell you right up front, God's been doing something, and I want us to be prepared for God to do something here if he so chooses. I want us to have our hearts ready. I want us to be humbled. And try to walk before God with humility the best we can. And it seems so silly. I hate to be the one up here telling us we need to be humble. You people get that, but as a people, we need to try to humble ourselves. So July 19th through the 23rd, if you can help with that, there'd be a tremendous blessing. Alex, thank you for doing the song leading. We appreciate you doing it. Well, come up and lead us in another song.
For our next song, it'll be I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. The page number for that is 116.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Amen. This time we take our tithes and offerings. And I say we take our tithes and offerings. We're not passing a plate around. I just have our giving time, our tithes and offerings time. And I have an offering plate up here. And I try to make sure to put some money in that plate. We pray. And we won't be passing it around. So you have to put it in the back there. If you're online, if you go to skyviewbaptist.com or take your phone and go to skyviewbaptist.com and then click the give button. It'll give you the you ask for your information. You put your information on there and the amount you want to give, and you can tithe that way. If you want to put an offering on there, make sure to put it in the notes what it's for. It'll say notes, and you put like conference, or you'll put missions, or you know, a Brother White's Hawaii trip, or something. I don't really put that on there if anybody's thinking, even as a joke. I don't do that. It gets things pretty complicated if you put in, you know, $2 for the Brother White Hawaii trip, and we have to go through $50 worth of hoops to get that out of our system and take a church vote. So I shouldn't joke about that because someone's going to do it. But please do. If you give, make sure to put that the notes so we know where it goes. And that'd be a tremendous blessing. We're going to have a word of prayer and then ask God to bless the offering today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we're in a position that no matter what happens, we look to you and just say, what's next, Lord? We don't control what's around us. We interact with it in a way that pleases you. Help us to be a people, Lord, who use this time to be givers, to reflect our faith and our God, who is a giver. And bless the gift and the offering we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So much. One more quick note, this week and starting next week, we have a limited access to King's Kids. I say limited, we only can take so many children, and I don't think we have any in the service this week, but the reason we're doing that is with a small number of children, we're able to very effectively do social distancing, and they can also do their memorization. They have specific games set up that will be games that don't involve, you know, getting close to each other or getting germs all over the place, and everything's going to be limited. Poor Miss Judy Right? She must have asked four times and said, no food. Well, can we do this? No food. Well, can we do this? No food. Well, how about no food? I'm just going to say, no food. She spoils those kids. And so just a note for you, and if you come next week, as long as there will be a limited number, and we'll start small and work our way up to what we can do safely and effectively. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 12, the book of Jeremiah in chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5. Let's see. I have less time than that. That seems like too much time. Did I skip something? No, don't fix it. The whole crowd's wishing they could fix it. We'll take bids on that. Jeremiah chapter 12 verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. Verse 5, our text verse. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou dwellest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Let's have a word of prayer and get to the message for this evening. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we look to you as a needy people. I use the term humble ourselves before you. What I mean is we yield and we say, Lord, if you speak to our hearts, we'll make a decision. We'll do what you tell us to do. Lord, so help us, Lord. We ask your Holy Spirit speak to us and change us and guide us in this time of what and how you would like us to do things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it says, this verse here, and it's used often, it says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And then it says, and if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? The title of the message today is Run with the Footmen. The title of the message is Run with the Footmen. And I gave you the wrong title, Mr. Myers. I don't know if I gave you the right one or the wrong one. Well, okay. So it's Run with the Footmen. And I'll give you an illustration, then we'll talk a little bit about the verse. When we had our first child, Elizabeth, you learn a lot of things. You figure things out. They're your guinea pigs, poor first child. And I remember grandmothers. Now, if you're a grandmother in here, I'm sure this doesn't apply to you. But other grandmothers, my child had a grandmother, my mother-in-law, who thought the child could do no wrong. There was never a time when that child deserved to be disciplined. And it seemed like, I mean, they'd say, grandparents, you need to discipline your kids, and you need to, I worked the hard line with you, you should. But then when it comes to disciplining the kids, they don't want to hear the kid cry. They don't want to. And so you would hear this, the child's just acting like that because they didn't get enough sleep. Now, our first child, poor Lizzie, and I don't think you've ever stopped, poor Lizzie, she's in here today, is that we ran her everywhere. We did everything. I don't know why we ever bought a house. I mean, we were gone so much, we just were always doing something. And Lizzie was always involved. She was on the bus route in her first week of life. I went door to door soul winning with her when she was wearing diapers about 3 weeks ago. And I'm kidding, but I remember holding her, going door to door, knocking on the door, and telling people the gospel story. And she'd be grabbing at my face, or she'd be reaching for the door, or whatever. And so we just pushed her and pushed her, and she'd be weary, and she'd have tough days sometimes. The other thing we didn't know is she was sensitive to milk. Well, when you're a new parent and a baby cries, what do? You put a bottle in their mouth. And so we put the bottle in her mouth, and it'd make her stomach upset, and she'd start crying. So we'd put another bottle in her mouth, Like, man, this kid just wants to eat all the time. Boonk. You'd plug her mouth with a bottle, and we were creating problems. There's a lot of things like that, and especially as a new parent, you begin to learn that there's a lot of reasons your child has issues. And as a child gets older, you ever heard of terrible twos? Anybody ever hear of terrible twos? Anybody ever seen terrible twos? Yeah, no such thing, exactly. And and the idea is as a child gets a little older, they throw fits. One little guy, I don't want to embarrass him. He might get embarrassed. Man, I want to tell you his name. I don't know that he'd get embarrassed, but there's a chance he would, so I won't tell you. He goes to church here. But he was just a little two-year-old guy, and he threw a fit right there, right in the back of the auditorium. But he was, like, so mannered about it. He just kind of sat down on the ground and laid down and laid there. Just laid there. I mean, he wasn't like kicked his feet, didn't scream or anything. And I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. So I stopped talking to everybody. He's into the church service. And I walked over and I just laid next to him. And I looked at him. I said, so why are we laying here? He looked at me. He looked away. He looked at me again. I said, well, I kind of like laying here. What are we doing here? He'd look away. And you see these kids throw fit. And mom was going, don't encourage him. Don't encourage him. And I thought, I can't help it. It's so cute. And so these kids would throw fits. Well, then they say, well, they're tired. They're sick. They're hungry. They're frustrated. They're weary. They're confused. Kids do that when they get confused. Now, that's true. And parents, pay attention to that. Okay? But you pay attention to that. You don't run your kid all day long and then be surprised that your kid threw a fit. You don't misfeed your kid or give them sugar all day long and wonder why they're bouncing off the walls. Tell them to settle down. Here's ice cream, here's cake, here's cookies, here's pie. Now settle down. You know? And now I say that, but now I'm going to say what you don't like to hear. Well, we had to come to the conclusion of my wife and I when we were talking. We talked this over for quite a while, and here's the conclusion we came to. The most important time for your child to learn to obey is when it's difficult. When they didn't get their sleep and they're falling apart, that's the most important time to obey. It really doesn't take a superhuman to obey when everything's just fine. A man doesn't have to be a good husband if he's got the perfect wife. If she never gets him upset, she never complains about anything, she waits on him hand and foot. If you're one of those wives, would you raise your hand? They're all over this auditorium right now. Dan Roche raises his hands. I'm one of those wives. but he never... So if you train them that they only have to behave when things are easy, but when things get hard and you have a good excuse, it's okay to lose it and melt down and not control yourself. You've done them a major, major disservice. By the way, can I say this? I think that's one of the things that's happened in our country. I think in my parents' day, some parents, it wasn't uncommon for parents to take it what I would call a little too far. They'd beat their kids. If you heard of a dad punching his son or hauling off and whacking their kids, that was not unheard of and is somewhat socially acceptable. I don't believe in beating your kids, but I do believe in punishment. I do believe in physical spankings, punishment, things like that. And I think what happened is then it rolled off to the younger generation where they said, you know, that's not your fault. Johnny's in the nursery stabbing all the kids, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's not his fault. He must have eaten gluten. And he gets like this when he eats gluten, and we don't expect him to behave himself when he eats gluten. So you get this mentality that it's okay to riot if I'm angry about a political thing. And that wasn't part of the sermon, but that's the mentality. It's okay to burn. I can go over and burn Alex's house down and steal all his stuff if I'm mad that somebody in Florida did something wrong. As long as I tithe on all Alex's stuff. Yes, Alex, you're feeling it. Give us Barabbas! Throw Alex to the dogs! And so, understand this then. We have a generation coming up, and that's in my generation too. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's in every generation. But where it's accepted, I'll say, is what you're doing right? No, but. And they got a reason. As long as you have a reason, it's all okay. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, but. You don't understand, preacher. Don't divorce your spouse. In the beginning, it was not so. Yeah, but. You don't get it, preacher. Thou shalt not murder. Yeah, but, and there's difference between murder and kill. I get that, but You know, they stole my donut. That is important. And we have an excuse. Couples treat each other like dirt. Christian couples treat each other like dirt. And sometimes we pat ourselves on the back. Well, we stayed married anyway. That was never God's plan for you to stay married anyway. It wasn't supposed to be stay married anyway. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, unless you're married or you live in the same house. I think that verse applies to being at home. Now stay with me for a minute. And it says that the key is this. With those children, and I'm not just teaching child-rearing here, but if you're young and ready to have children, please pay attention to this. The most important time that they obey is when it's hard. Is when it's hard. If you can obey when it's hard, then you can totally obey when it's simple. But if you can't obey when it's simple, what are you going to do when it gets hard? Now, you see Jeremiah talking to God, and he's saying, God, this is too much to take. When are you going to, you know, ease things on the land? And he said, Jeremiah, he said, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, you're running with the soldiers and all the footmen soldiers. And think about this. Think about the condition you have to be in. So let's go out to the desert in Jerusalem, you know, and we're going to fight the Philistines. OK. And so we're set up on hills, and I've got armor, and you want to have heavy, strong armor because you don't like to die. And so you get your shield and your spear and your helmet and all your stuff. Right. And then, you know, 200-300 yards away is the army. Now you start off with a 300-yard sprint before you ever start fighting. It'd be 150 yards, and I'd just lay on the ground and go, kill me, kill me. I'm so out of shape. The only thing that would keep me safe is if I, like when I laid on the beach out there, these people just started standing around me. It was Greenpeace. They were protecting me. No, I'm kidding. Only a few people understand that. So you race down and you run as fast as you can. And so what you do is you run next to the other footmen, and you've got to stay together. You have to stay together. Otherwise, you get holes in the line and people break the line. So you stay. It says if you can't keep up with the footmen that are running, what's going to happen when you've got to run next to the cavalry? You got the horsemen and the chariots, and you've got to keep up with the chariots that are being pulled by horses. What are you going to do when it gets tough? Because you're racing into battle. You've got a race, dust coming up and horses running and chariots everywhere, and you're running into battle with a spear and a shield. If you can't even hang out with the footmen, what are you going to do with the horses? He says in Jerusalem, if you can't handle Jerusalem in a good day, what are you going to do when the river overturns its bank, when it's dangerous, when you got to cross the Jordan River in super heavy rapids? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get Miss Cheryl and my wife, and they're going to get inner tubes. And the enemy will laugh so hard with the two of them going down the rapids and inner tubes of all the shenanigans that happen. And that's a whole other story for a whole other sermon. But he says this. He says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horsemen? There's three things I want you to get from this. One, battles. Fight your battles when they're small. You take care of things. You start learning to fight when you're with the footmen, when it's not as hard. In the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. Why don't you turn there real quick? There's a real interesting phrase you find there. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. If you're under 16, don't turn to Songs of Solomon. You're not allowed into that book. And joke. First way to get teenagers to read a book. You can't read that book. And which one? What was that again? Where do I find that? Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. He makes a statement as he's talking to his love. He says, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Verse 15. Let us take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. for our vines are tender grapes. And he goes on to explain some more. But he explains little foxes, baby foxes. They're tiny. And by the way, you want to talk about cute little animals. Was that you showing me ones in Japan? Yeah, they have these fox pets, little pets that are foxes in Japan. And or do they eat them? Are they pets? A little fox village you can walk through, and all these little foxes and the cute little animals. And what happens is you build a garden. You build your vineyard. And a vineyard takes a long time, and it grows, and it finally comes out, starts producing grapes. And vineyards can be 100 years old. They can get really old. And the birds will come down and try to get the grapes. So you learn to put nets over the vineyards and to keep the birds away. And then you got animals trying to come in, and so you put fences up and you put rock walls up and you do all these different things to keep the animals away. And then a little fox, and those things can get in the tightest spaces. It's unbelievable how they can squeeze themselves in through things. Little foxes get in there, and they sharpen their teeth. I didn't know this. I was just told this, so I actually haven't researched it. If I'm wrong, you know, send me an email or something, I guess. But I was told that rabbits, the reason they gnaw on things all the time, you got to give them carrots or something to gnaw on, and they'll gnaw on your furniture if you have a pet rabbit. Because if they can't gnaw on things, their teeth keep growing. I would love to see a rabbit with vampire fangs. Wasker with rabbit. But the little foxes, they chew. They chew on things, and they just bite at things. And they'll bite at the vines, and you won't know it. You don't see them. You don't hear them. You're not aware that they got in there. And they're cute, by the way. You know, if you start getting rid of little foxes, you want to talk about, look, okay, ladies, I got some teen ladies here. Jacqueline, you're sensitive, okay? So I'm going to pick on you for just a second. Is that all right? I got a choice. I'm going to shoot one of these two animals. Ready? A rat or a squirrel? Which one do I shoot? He's like, he wants to eat it. Who said squirrel? No, it's a rat. All a squirrel is a rat with a furry tail. But he's cute. You're not supposed to eat cute. And, you know, you're not supposed to eat the rats either, depending on what country you're from. But there's something, and those little foxes are cute. And you're trying to keep a vineyard. And you start telling people, I'm hiring you to kill baby foxes. Oh, Rebecca will be out there with a bow and arrow protecting those little foxes. And they're putting little fox food bowls down for them to eat and so on. And now think about this. They're cute. Those little foxes are cute. They're pretty harmless. They can't really attack you. If you pick them up, even if they bite on you, I don't even think they could break your skin or something. They're just one, but they sit in there and they just gnaw at it. And that gnawing at it kills the vine. By the time you see the leaves withering up, the damage is completely done. That it's irreversible. You can't replace that vine. They've destroyed your vineyard. And he says, the little foxes that chew on the vines, those are the ones you've got to watch for. If you want to protect your vineyard, you've got to keep the little foxes out. You got to fight them when they're little, cute foxes. You know, I mentioned that with children. You can discipline your child when they're 2, or you can discipline your child when they're 16. Which one you think is more effective? Now, which one's cuter, 2-year-old or a 16-year-old? I can testify to that. Okay? A 2-year-old child, when you're disciplining a 2-year-old child, especially I start off with girls, man, I come and take a little hint. No. I want to cry. I felt like such a rotten, whacking his little girl in the hand. You feel so rotten. I remember calling my mom and saying, it seems like every time I see this kid, I'm spanking her. I said, I'm doing something wrong. What do I do? I can't do this all the time. And she says, there's a reason it's called terrible twos. You can do it now or when they're 16. And she says, trust me, it works much better now. See, you take care of it before the problem seems huge. You've got to address the problems when they're small. You've got to fight the battles when they're small. Honestly, I don't mean to get into the politics of it because I really don't like getting into the politics of things. But a lot of what's happening with these riots and all these police forces stepping back, you know, the biggest problem I have with it is that when they finally decide to crack down, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And when they finally crack down on it, it's going to be horrible. If it was stopped before it got started, and it was squelched before it happened, it's no good. People don't like it, but it keeps it from getting huge. And one of the keys in the Christian life is to fight the battles when they're small. Turn the show off when it doesn't honor God. Don't wait till it becomes pornographic, and pornographic becomes normal to you. Shut the TV off if it doesn't honor God. Here's one for you. Maybe try not having a TV. You can watch all your stuff on a computer. You can decide to watch stuff. I'm not telling you have to do that. It's not a kid. But maybe some of you might try it. The idea is fight the battle when it's small. Go back and say, what is immodesty? Well, I don't know. Well, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do that? Oh, you like my socks, by the way? I got the bicycle socks on. Anyways, can I do this? Can I do? And people start getting, and then and as a parent, you go, well, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that outfit. I don't know if they should wear that. I don't know if that's a little too tight. I don't know. You know what? Say no. I finally learned something, and it was good to learn in the ministry. Sometimes people, when you make a standard, you say this is where we draw the line. People will always push on that line. It doesn't matter where you put the line. Now, at our school, I inherited a lot of the rules when I took over the school at Skyview Baptist Academy. And one of the rules is that your shoes have to be the same, like one solid color. You can't have a Nike swish on or anything like that. And I think, let's see, who's been in there recently? I'm trying to think of anybody who I talked to. Danny, what colors can you have? Black and brown, that's it. All right? You can't have white. You can't have, well, people come, well, I just don't agree with that. I'm thinking, neither do I. One time my son didn't have his shoes, and he had a pair of black shoes that had a white stripe on it. And I had to get him to school. So I ran in the garage and grabbed a can of spray paint. Spray painted his shoes black so I could take him to school. And you're like, why'd you do that? You're the one that makes the rules. I could walk in and say, Pope White has just said no more shoes. And I learned something a long time ago. What? Once you take the shoe rule away, then they start going for the tie rule. And then they start going for the collared shirt rule. Then they start going for the why do we have to wear pants? Why can't we wear shorts? And what's too short and what's too long? And what do you mean this is sagging too much? And after a while, everybody looks like Daisy Duke. Anybody know who that is? Who doesn't know who that is? Praise the Lord, you're lucky. All right, so And everybody starts looking bad. And then you get to a place where it's like ridiculous. And people walk in, what's wrong here? I didn't stand over the black shoes. I think we changed a little bit. I think we had a vote and figured out what to do and all that. But the key is this, you fight the battle when it's little. So why are we fighting over black shoes? Because I don't want to get to where it's big. I don't want to get to the place where I have to fight whether your kid your immoral kid's coming to school seducing everybody, male or female, I don't care which way, and I have to figure out how to get you run out of the school and prove that that's happening. When I took the school over, there was a couple individuals, but one particular, and the ladies, you understand this, I don't quite understand it, they'd show up, and their dress would be just barely long enough, then somehow they'd hike it up, and it would be just barely past a mini skirt, I don't hike my dresses up, so I don't know how that works, but we kept having a problem with it, and kept saying, don't do that, and as soon as you leave, you know, gravity, reverse gravity, something would make it happen, and then the next year, I was given the introduction or you sit with the parents and you talk to them and you say, here's what the school is going to be like. And I said, so this year, the skirts are not going to be too short. And if you show up with a skirt too short, we're not mad at you. I'm not going to be upset with you. And I understand, your parents have to bring you a skirt, but I don't want to, we'll just let you finish a day. What we'll do is we'll just give you duct tape and we're going to extend your skirt so it's plenty long enough. And you can wear the duct tape till the day's over. Now, the thing that I was surprised about was the parent of that girl said, whack! They're pointing at her. And I was like, oh, we're on the same page, aren't we? I would much rather I would much rather fight over black shoes. I don't care if I really lose that battle. I'm annoyed that I had to go spray paint my son's shoes black to take him to school. And that day I was like, this is so stupid. I just didn't have anybody to complain to because I argue with myself when I always lose. But I would much rather fight the battle when it's small, when the stakes aren't so high. I don't want to make the battlefield where the stakes are so high that we're talking about the morality of our school. Then I'm trying to figure out if you're doing drugs before or after school or going to parties on weekends, and do I have a rule that says I have to kick you out because you're totally corrupting everybody. I don't want to get there. So fight the battles when they're small. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? Am I out of time? Did the computer go off? I'm like, it's blank, and there we go. I could go a little farther. I was like, I didn't think I went that long. Okay, a couple more quick things. The other two are pretty quick, and then we'll come to a conclusion that applies to us. Ready? Second thing, small trials show you where you are in your walk with God. Small trials show you where you are in your walk with God. When I was a youth director, we went soul winning Wednesdays, and then we went soul winning on Saturdays. But Wednesdays was the teen soul winning for every teenager. And then Fridays, I had another soul winning time and so on. So on Wednesdays, sometimes it would rain, and it would rain like sideways. And we would still go out in the rain because we lived in Oregon, but it rained sideways. And so once in a while, I have to go, look, it's raining sideways. I'm going to go ahead and cancel soul winning, right? I remember the second time I did it. By the way, as soon as you do it, you know what's going to happen. The rain all stops, the sun comes out, birds fly through the air, you know. It's crazy. But I remember the second time I canceled it, and I really hated doing it. One of the teens walked up to me and said, you canceled soul winning and people are going to go to hell. I said, do you understand? I don't have the ability to erase God. What do you mean? I just canceled soul winning time. Go. What? I said, go. Right across the street. We didn't go there in a long time. Go ahead. I got some tracks here for you. Well, what do you mean? I thought I just canceled God. Go soul winning. I'm okay. You little brat. You're just waiting for you to make one mistake and you're going to jump on it, you know? Go. So I thought about this. It's like, how are you doing in your Bible reading if you're not teaching Sunday school right now? You don't have to have a lesson ready. How are you doing in your prayer life? How's your walk with God going? We had a pandemic. Who in here actually, and there should be some people, but who in here actually knows someone personally who died of COVID-19? We got one. Two different people. Now, and by the way, but people die of the flu. We have a pandemic, and people are like, it's hard to go to church. I get that. But just let me help you just a little bit, okay? I know it's hard to go to church, but if you're running around Fred Meyers for an hour, and you're scared to go to church, you might think that through. If, my wife and I were talking about going to church and how to be safe, as we were driving to Seaside to go to the first open restaurant we could find in Oregon. We're going to a restaurant eating and worrying about how to be safe at church. We were debating whether or not you could wear gloves because I'm ordering more food and it's being handed to me. And so the one thing that you get during this time is you find out we kind of froze for a while. Nobody told you to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. How are you doing? I had to kick myself. I realized I was doing horrible. I was like, time off. Woo! I'm going to go. I have all these projects I want to do. I have these things I got to get done. And I got busy getting things done. And there's no Saturday soul winning. Nobody has asked me if I've shared my faith once. It dawned on me after a little while that I don't qualify to teach Sunday school. I'm not sowing. I'm not telling anybody. Now, I understand if you have to stay at home and you're sheltering in, you can't tell me about Jesus Christ. But I'm going to restaurants and talking to waiters and waitresses. I'm saying hi to people in the store. I'm talking to people on the street. But sowing is, you know, dangerous. Because when you say the gospel, COVID-19 floats faster. And it attacks you. And I realized, wow, I canceled God. I gave the gospel right away when I learned that. I found a way to give the gospel. I've had a chance to see about 4 people saved. But I realized I don't have to do as much. Am I reading my Bible? Am I praying? How am I doing during this very, very minimal pandemic? As far as pandemics go. As far as pandemics go, it's almost embarrassing to call this a pandemic. You with me? How am I doing with the footman? What's going to happen if we actually do have persecution? What's going to happen if one of those riots spills out into this church during a Sunday service? What's our Christianity made of then? You know, how are we going to react? Are we going to react like Christ wants us to react? What happens if Christianity comes to a place where people are saying, it's completely, people get so angry with you if you share your faith. Are you still going to share your faith? We have people who are scared to share their faith when it's popular. The vast majority of the people we knock on the door of are very, very polite. A large amount of the people are very glad that we're there doing it. There's a few people, and they try to make a big scene, and they get snotty, and they try to make you remember them. But it's so small, it's ridiculous. What's going to happen when it gets hard? What have we done in the easy times? It's important, because here's what it is. And by the way, please understand this. I'm not saying this to kick you or to point a finger at you. I did have to point a finger at myself and say, wow, I'm a lot weaker than I thought I was. I didn't like that reality. I didn't envision myself as that weak. But understand this. The trials show you where you are. It's like a thermometer. The Bible says in Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least shall be faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You know what you ask a missionary when they come to get support? How many people have you won to Christ? Well, I've been so busy trying to get on the mission field, I haven't had time. You're in America, and you have freedom of religion, and you can tell people about Christ, and you haven't had time. You think you're going to be unbusy on the mission field? I want to see what you've done with that, which is least. Two old fellows were sitting on the porch. You ever remember the story I've told about? They're rocking back and forth, and Jim and Bob. Jim says, Bob, we've been friends since we were little kids. They're rocking back and forth. He says, that's right, Jim. And he says, Bob, if you won you that lottery and you won you $1 million, would you give me half? He says, yeah, of course I would, Jim. Jim, we've been friends since we were kids, and what's mine is yours, and yours is mine. If I won that $1 million, I'd give you half. He says, that's good. Thank you, Bob. They rock a little longer, and Jim looks over and says, Bob, if you had you $100,000, he said, would you give me half? He said, Jim, you're my best friend ever. Of course I'd give you half. So they rock for a little while. He says, Bob, if you had a cow, he said, now wait a minute, Jim. You know I have a cow. That's not fair. If you're not faithful in the cow, you're not going to be faithful in the million. People say this all the time. They say, I remember when I was talking to a man, and we were talking about business. I used to run a little Bible study on what the Bible says about business. And he said, if I won $1 million, I wouldn't give any more to the church, not a dime more. I said, why not? He said, because God said so. God say so. He said, what I'm giving now is what I would give if I won $1 million. If I'm faithful with what I have now, that's how faithful I'll be with $1 million. Some people say, if I just gave $1 million, I'd give 50% to the church. All right. Where is it? You only have 10. Where's the 5? Now watch this, though. That means you have a thermometer to tell where you're at. You can know where you're at. God told you where you're at. Just look at what you're doing with that which is least, and you know what you will do when you get more. You don't ask for more hoping that'll change you. You figure out what you're doing with the least, and you'll do more. People ask that about business class, a business course. Often they say, "Where do I start? Where do I start?" And I used to help them. I used to say, "Find a niche," and that was a whole other subject. But I work on helping them find what to sell. Then it dawned on me. I read in the Bible. No, God said. Yeah, I went by the field of the slothful, and his stone wall was broken down. His vineyard was covered with nettles. He had a vineyard. He had a wall. It was supposed to produce, and he wasn't making what he already had produce. Don't start looking to find what you can make produce until you make what you already have produce. You've been unfaithful in that which is least. Getting more is just going to expose how more unfaithful you are. Make what you have now produce, and then you're ready to make more. You with me so far? So you have a thermometer to see where you're at spiritually. And the last thing is this, that the next verse in Luke 16:10, verse 11 says, "If therefore you have been faithful in unrighteous, if you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Practice in that which is least. Now, use your small trial. And this is the end. This is where a very, very practical thing, and I'm out of time. Are you guys still with me? Take your mask off, get some air, go, and then put it back on. Okay, here goes. Here's what I want you to do. Practice being faithful when it's easy. He said, "If you can't be faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches, the power of God?" So I have a power in my wallet right now. I'm a very powerful man. Did everybody see that? I'm holding power. When people say, "I want $1 million," they don't want 1 million pieces of paper. They want the power that 1 million pieces of paper represents. And so I have power in my hands. And God says, okay, there's little power. What do you do with that? How do you think? How do you deal with that? If you can't handle the $5 in your hand, how do you expect me to give you the power of God? So here's what you do. Ready? You go, huh. So if this were the power of God, what would I do with that? Well, if you're the power of God, I'd say, God, this belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. Well, it does belong to God. Well, yeah, but then I'd say, God, what do you want done with this? And I'd search the scriptures, and I'd find out God said, well, everything in my kingdom is supposed to reproduce. Make this reproduce. Make this reproduce for my kingdom. Use this for my glory. Well, how do I use this for your glory? And I begin to seek what God wants me to do with this for his glory. When I began to learn this principle, I used to take money, usually a $20 bill, which is a lot for me back then, and I put it in my front pocket. Every time I reached in my pocket, I'd feel it, and it burned a hole in my pocket, man. Every time I got hungry, I'd remember I have it there. I'd say, Lord, I'm not going to use it for anything until you tell me what to do with this. What do you want me to do? And because of the way I'm wired, I'd be like, does she need it, God? Does she need something? I'm just constantly looking, like, what am I supposed to do with it? And God said, oh, you're starting to get faithful. And that which is least. If I can't trust you with filthy mammon, how can I trust you with the true riches? So here's what you do. And I teach this in the business class a lot of times. I say this. Ready? Learn to be faithful with this. And the same principles apply to the spiritual realm. Learn to be faithful with this. Take this. Learn to run with the footman. Learn to stretch out a little bit before you go. Warm up a little bit and get ready to go with the footman. You know, learn how to breathe from the diaphragm and not get that pain in your side and learn how to stand up straight and not bend over too much and learn how to get a stride and learn what a stride is and how to run with the stride and get so good at running with the footman that when the day comes and you're running with the footman and all of a sudden they say, you get up with the cavalry, and you speed up and you go past the footman and you run over with the cavalry and you begin to run with the horses and you're next to the chariots and the horses and people are getting killed. You're staying up with the horses and the horsemen because you practiced when it was small. So all that, the sermon wasn't to kick you to tell you how rotten you are because during the COVID time you probably didn't do things good enough. It was to tell you this is practice time. Practice reading your Bible when no one's looking and there's no lesson to teach because God said do it. Practice praying faithfully when no one's asking you. There's no prayer meetings. There's no prayer list. Practice telling people about Jesus just in your casual life, even at the drive-thru. Say, hey, can I leave you a track that tells about Jesus Christ? I understand if you don't want the paper, it just tells how you can go to heaven. Would you like to trust Christ? Just share your faith in the drive-thru, at Walmart, at when you say hi to people. Practice it when things are hard, when things are easy, when you're with the footman. Because when the real pandemic comes, you'll be faithful in that which is least. God can trust you with that which is much. It's practice time, folks. Let's see if we can put that into practice and say, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do during this great pandemic that we're dealing with, and I'm going to be faithful in Bible reading, prayer, church attendance. We're online now. It's harder to come to church. When you're tired, it's so much easier to say. But I take my hat off to you, Chris. By the way, he was talking about that. He said, I think I might go home. You know what? I'm going to come to church, and he just came. I mean, it's harder, okay? Practice being faithful when you're running with the footman. Let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll have a short invitation. Heavenly Father, would you help us to be a people who practice being faithful when we're running with the easy trials, when the things aren't really that hard? Help us not to break and crumble, and let this be a time we can see what we're made of and we can make the adjustments that we need to make to be faithful. Father, please bless an invitation. Help us to be a people who say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to practice being faithful and show you how faithful I am when the trials are easy. Lord, bless this invitation like only you can. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As the piano plays, will you pray? Will you pray where you're at? Maybe you've gotten away from a few things, and maybe it might be a little easier to miss church, a little easier to skip your Bible reading that day or prayer. Maybe your prayer time has gone away. Why don't you say, God, I'm going to show myself faithful during this simple trial. Lord, if real trials come, I want to know you can lean on me. I want you to know I'll be faithful when it's hard. If you're listening online, you tell God, Lord, I want to be faithful. When you can come to church, come to church. Make sure to be there. When you can give, you give. When you can pray, you pray. But be faithful when things are hard. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. And Lord, that you've promised us, if we're not going to be faithful in that which is least, we're not going to be faithful in much. But that also means this, Lord, that if we'll be attentive to be faithful to the small things, when it's a small trial and it's not that hard, the Lord, you said we'll be the people who stand up and do what's right when it's hard. We'll be the people who do what's right when it's big things, because we are faithful in that which is least. Help us to be conscientious that you're watching, for those little foxes, and help us to push them out of our vineyards and be faithful in that which is least, Father. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to know I love you. I'm very thankful for you. And thrilled to see each one here today. It's tough trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, what's next, and so on and so forth. And I do appreciate you having the mask and all. When we go to social distance, as you head out, I ask you to put the mask back on as we head out. And then when you're outside, you kind of do it whatever your personal preference is. But do respect the fact that the 6-foot rule for other folks, in case someone's trying to make sure to keep that. And we do that. And I'm going to do this. Mr. Roach, can I put you on the spot? Or you want to come up and pray for us before we dismiss? I'm going to get Dan Roach up here. Dan and Chris were out helping with our buses today, and they got them out running and working with them and keeping things in order. So many people do so many things around here that nobody even knows about, that I just find out about. I come here and I find things done, and I appreciate that faithfulness so much. I'm going to ask Dan to end us in a word of prayer, and when he's done praying, we'll be dismissed. Dan?
Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you in Jesus' name and pray that you would forgive us of our sins, Lord. Pray that you would help us as we go our way, Lord. Help us to read our Bibles. Help us to pray for other people, Lord. Help us to be tender to other people, Lord, in this time. We pray that you would bless each person that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, and that you would bless us as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen.